This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Zona Plus, an effective non-drug treatment for high blood pressure. I use it with my patients at the Hoffman Center all the time. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, the company is offering you special savings of $50 and free shipping. To find out more, go to TryZonaNow.com or call toll-free 1-866-669-9662. Be sure to mention Dr. Hoffman to get your $50 savings and free shipping. That's 1-866-669-9662 or tryzonanow.com.
Welcome to another edition of Layla Weighs In. I'm your host, Layla Mutin. I'm the nutritionist at the Hoffman Center, and I welcome all of your questions and any comments or any ideas, any interest you have in a health or nutrition topic that you would like me to discuss here on Layla Weighs In. Just email me to radioprogram@AOL.com. That's radioprogram@AOL.com. I want to start by talking to you today about the underappreciated egg. Eggs are finally off the hook. Cholesterol-containing foods are finally off the hook, as you know, by the dietary guidelines. Not that we put a whole lot of stock in dietary guidelines, but they got that one right. So we already know that eggs are very valuable protein sources. I mean, even when I was in school studying nutrition, if there was any protein that scored 100, the perfect protein, it was the egg. Think about it. It contains everything to nurture a growing chick, a growing chicken, right? So lots of underappreciated micronutrients in the egg. And it's the whole egg, but also the yolk. Let's talk about the egg's phospholipids. Phospholipids are a very important component of all of our cell membranes. And that includes the cholesterol, because cholesterol is a phospholipid. So these can be very healthy. They can aid in cholesterol metabolism, in HDL function, and the average large egg contains about 1.3 grams of phospholipids, which are found mainly in the yolk. You've probably heard me talk about the egg. Let's break it down a little bit. We've got, in the egg white portion, we have 3 grams of protein. There are also 3 grams of protein in the yolk portion of the egg, but coming back to the white, the egg white has 3 grams of protein. It's got some B vitamins. Okay. That's very nice. But in the yolk portion, we have an additional 3 grams of protein. We have acetylcholine. Nice phospholipid. We have lutein, zeaxanthin for our eyes. We have small amounts of vitamin D. We have vitamin A. We have some zinc and selenium. We have a whole lot of nutrition in that yolk, besides the fact that it's delicious. So we know, alongside these carotenoids that I mentioned, the lutein and the zeaxanthin for our eyes, we know that phospholipids in eggs, particularly the yolk, they can decrease serum cholesterol levels. This has been found in a rat study. But we also know that our liver makes 80% of cholesterol in our body, right? And it works on a negative feedback loop. When we're eating enough dietary cholesterol, the liver doesn't have to make as much. So it dials down its production of cholesterol. So what else are these wonderful phospholipids known for? Can improve memory retention, and it can increase acetylcholine concentrations. We need acetylcholine It's a neurotransmitter, very important in brain health, in mood health. And acetylcholine, the neurotransmitter, also decreases in concentration in Alzheimer's disease. Those with Alzheimer's disease need more acetylcholine. Egg yolks would only be beneficial besides taking supplements such as phosphatidylcholine, and phosphatidylserine is also important in memory. These phospholipids can improve liver function, can aid in cancer prevention. We've actually known this since the late 1990s. Okay. So, the yolk proteins, the ovicoid, the oval albumin, the lysozyme, all of these have antibacterial activity and antihypertensive activity, immunomodulating, anti-adhesive, anti-tumor, antiviral. These are in the yolk proteins. What else do we get? We get immunoglobulins, specifically immunoglobulin Y from the yolk. This is where we get the antibacterial activity, the antiviral activity. It may also reduce the incidence of cavities, dental cavities. It's used as an anti-inflammatory agent. These immunoglobulins are used as a carrier for anti-cancer drugs and anti-venom agents. Other components of the yolk, as well as the yolk lipids, lipoproteins, fatty acids, and cholesterol, have scientifically proven antioxidant and antibacterial activities as well. So for most of us, we already know there's no reason to be afraid of cholesterol in the eggs. Some people, a very small population of people, have a gene that may predispose them to abnormal increases in serum cholesterol in response to cholesterol intake. But you know what? What I see basically in those folks, especially those of you who are consuming more eggs and other cholesterol-rich foods like meat, butter, and shrimp on a lower-carb diet, yeah, your LDL may remain high or may go up even higher. But number one, your HDL also increases with the increased fat intake in your diet. So your ratio gets better of HDL to LDL. It gets much better because your HDL is your supposed garbage truck. It's a good thing. But even if your LDL remains high or becomes even higher, eating more cholesterol-rich foods such as eggs, what happens if you're following a low-carb diet and doing this the right way is that if you have a small particle, pattern B LDL particle, it will change and increase into a larger, fluffier, less atherogenic pattern A particle. So as you know already, the number of your LDL, your HDL, is not necessarily the main thing, but it's the subfraction, the particle. And don't forget, amidst all of this controversy around cholesterol, cholesterol is still classified as an antioxidant. And for that reason, a total cholesterol of less than 160 is a risk factor for cancer. A total cholesterol of less than 200 may be a risk factor for dementia. And again, you've heard me say before on this podcast, we've known since the 1980s, there is research from the 1980s that elderly people, 82-year-olds, 85, 86, 90-year-olds, with a total cholesterol averaging about 260, they live longer. They have less dementia. They have less other problems. So this is very, very important when you're looking at all of the data on this. So, going on from eggs, let's talk about other things. Other news from Biomed Central research. The effects of L-carnitine supplementation on lipid profiles in patients with coronary artery disease. We know that L-carnitine is a very important amino acid that helps shuttle fatty acids into the mitochondria of the cell, aiding in your fat-burning metabolism. L-carnitine is a go-to supplement for those of you low-carb dieters getting into ketosis or need a little more help getting into ketosis or need a little help with your exercise. Carnitine is helpful. If you have a thyroid disorder, hypothyroid, hyperthyroid, where you're in a catabolic state, carnitine can help you with its associated fatigue that happens when you're in a thyroid storm. Carnitine is important for your coronary artery health. It plays an important physiologic role in lipid metabolism. But to date, no clinical study has been performed to examine the effect of L-carnitine supplementation on the lipid status of coronary artery disease patients. So the aim of this particular study was to investigate the lipid-lowering effects of L-carnitine supplementation, 1,000 milligrams per day in coronary artery disease patients. And you probably know that the best way to take L-carnitine is away from food, at least 30 minutes before or 2 hours after. You know, sometime in between your meals where your stomach is fairly empty. So, these coronary artery disease patients, these subjects, were identified as having at least a 50% blockage in one major coronary artery. 47 subjects were recruited and randomly assigned to a placebo and to a carnitine group. So, the intervention was administered for 12 weeks. The levels of L-carnitine, lipid profiles, antioxidant enzyme activity, these were all measured. They also measured superoxide dismutase, antioxidant activity. So the subjects in the carnitine group, those who were taking carnitine, they had significantly higher superoxide dismutase. You want that. And they had more, significantly higher than those in the placebo group at week 12, which was the end of the study period. And triglyceride levels was slightly, significantly reduced. And HDL cholesterol was positively associated with carnitine supplementation. So, the conclusion was that L-carnitine supplementation at a dose of 1,000 milligrams per day. And by the way I would take that, if it's 1,000, you could probably take it in one dose. It may also be helpful to break it up, 500 twice daily. So, at a dose of 1,000 milligrams per day of L-carnitine, showed significantly increased HDL cholesterol and ApoA1 levels and a slight decrease in triglyceride levels, but no other changes in other lipids in these coronary artery disease patients. And this lipid-lowering effect may be related to its antioxidant activity. That's that superoxide dismutase that they're talking about. So, the researchers conclude that further studies should be conducted to define an optimal dose of L-carnitine for lipid-lowering in patients with already existing coronary artery disease. All right, fascinating. So take your carnitine. Other sources of carnitine, meat, that's where it is, and in lower levels in plant sources, vegetable sources. Another study from the Journal of Nutrition, plasma riboflavin, that's vitamin B2, and vitamin B6 are inversely associated with breast cancer risk in the European Prospective Investigation into Cancer and Nutrition Varese Cohort. That's the EPIC trial, okay? So what they found was they investigated associations between breast cancer and plasma folate, riboflavin, vitamin B6, B12, and homocysteine in women recruited to the Varese cohort in the EPIC, the cancer study. The Varese cohort was an Italian cohort. They performed a case control study on women ages 35 to 65 years old at recruitment with a median BMI of about 25. That's at the cusp of overweight. That's the median. Who gave blood samples in 1987 through 1992 and again in 1993 to 1998. Breast cancer cases identified by December of 2009 were individually matched controls. Okay. So what they found after almost 15 years, 276 breast cancer cases were identified, and they found that increasing plasma vitamin B6 was associated with decreased risk of overall premenopausal, estrogen receptor positive, and progesterone receptor positive breast cancers. Fascinating. And increased plasma B6 was also associated with decreased breast cancer risk in alcohol consumers compared with consumption of less than 7 grams or non-consumption. High plasma riboflavin, that's vitamin B2, was associated with significantly lower risk in premenopausal women. And plasma homocysteine folate B12 were not associated with breast cancer risk. High plasma B6 and B2 may lower breast cancer risk, especially in premenopausal women. Now, a note about alcohol. You know, alcohol destroys those B vitamins. For anyone who drinks regularly, even that supposedly healthy glass of red wine with your dinner, I would still recommend you take a B complex because these B vitamins, they're water soluble. They're not stored in the body. They are burned through with any sugar consumption and alcohol consumption. And if you're a woman who's taking oral contraceptives, you're burning through your B vitamins there too. Very, very important. Now, having said that, about the B vitamins, have you heard of a condition called drunkorexia? You've heard of anorexia, right? Eating disorder, anorexia nervosa, bulimia. You've heard of those. What is drunkorexia? Let me explain. Young adults, especially on college campuses, looking to avoid weight gain from alcohol while at the same time achieving a fast buzz, are adopting the unhealthy habit known as drunkorexia. This is in the September-October issue of the wonderful Food and Nutrition magazine that I'm quoting this to you from. So, in an effort to not gain weight and to get a fast buzz, this is the practice of drunkorexia. They're straddling the line between alcohol abuse and eating disorder. This drunkorexia, this practice involves restricting food intake, binging and purging, and excessive exercising to, quote, make room for alcohol. Oh, brother. Drunkorexia carries many potential consequences, such as increased risk of alcoholism, vitamin depletion, especially those B vitamins, and dehydration. As you may know, a hangover is a combination of dehydration and very low blood sugar, hypoglycemia. That's why it feels awful. So while drunkorexia isn't a new trend, recent studies have found the prevalence and frequency of this practice is much higher than previously believed. Oh no! In fact, in a self-report study involving 136 Australian female undergraduate students, more than 50% reported drunkorexia-type behaviors. Additionally, previous research suggested women were more likely to engage in these behaviors, but new findings show young men also are vulnerable. Oh boy. So, drunkorexia, there's your definition. That's what it is. That's what it does. And wow, fascinating stuff, right? Terrible. So not only do we have bad eating behaviors, we have bad drinking behaviors. Not a great thing for health. And you know, the long-term consequences of having deficiencies in B vitamins is, I just read to you the study on breast cancer. We need B2 and B6 at the very least. Even though this study didn't show it, we do need folate. Although, once there is an established cancer in the body, there is evidence to show that folate may fuel it, as you've heard me discuss before on podcasts, as well as Dr. Hoffman. So, all food for thought. I want to thank you once again for joining me on Layla Weighs In on the Intelligent Medicine Podcast, and I remind you to email your questions, comments, relevant health topics to me at radioprogram@AOL.com. Thank you for joining me. This is Layla Mutin, RD. I see patients every day here at the Hoffman Center. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.